This is WHCC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your talk of the with your questions and comments. 395-1450 is the number, and our guest this morning is Bob Janetsky. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town.
Bob, what's this thing about the drugstores taking care of the marijuana, selling marijuana?
Oh, okay. Okay, interesting.
Maybe I hit you there with it.
Yeah, you threw a curveball at me right off the bat. It's not the one I was ready for, but I'll take the swing. It's a bill that's come out of the Senate that has basically asked for, as you know, we right now have medical marijuana allowed in Michigan. This bill would ask for it basically to be regulated such that the amount of THC and content could be standard. So if a doctor were to go to prescribe, they would know exactly how much they're prescribing for you, and it would basically create a situation whereby the manufactured marijuana or the produced marijuana that was then marketed would be a predictable product. There were a lot of people who showed up to the hearing that didn't like that. They were worried and afraid that this was going to infringe upon their ability to grow their own as their caregivers. Yeah. Under that law, they have a lot of leeway to grow marijuana in their own home as caregivers. So they saw this as a threat to their ability. It's not. It would basically just create a tool for standard of usage for mass-produced marijuana for medical purposes.
I think it should have been this way all the time. It should have been the drugstores that sell it.
You know, it's interesting because the pharmacists, what we were told is when this was on the ballot for the ballot initiative, the pharmacists didn't want to have any part of it. They don't see this as one of the standard drug type pharmaceutical things that they deal with, and hence they're uncomfortable because there's a lot of liability issues that people are always worried about with new products, and especially with products in this case that are grown in people's basements under certain lamps. So that what this bill would do would bring it under one standard fold. And you bring up an important issue. You know, when that passed as a ballot initiative, it was only 100 words, and I think most Michiganders thought, okay, you know, for those who are chronically ill, who can't keep down food, who are really struggling, and probably in their, you know, perhaps last year of life or so, we would want to make their lives a little easier. And this is my guess. I can't tell you how everybody thought when they voted, but my guess is that most people thought they were voting to kind of ease the pain of those who were in severe pain. Unfortunately, now we see it prescribed for attention deficit disorder, for migraine headaches and things like that. And it's unfortunate to learn how many doctors out there are actually prescribing for needs that probably aren't what were intended. Yeah. But when you pass a ballot initiative with only 100 words, it's difficult to figure out what the voters meant, and now there's obviously a lot of different interpretations going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
Well, it's an interesting bill. I was just reading about it last night, so I'm glad I was reading up before you asked.
Okay, our representative is here, Representative Bob Janetsky, this morning. And if you have a question for him, you may call us at 395-1450. Let's take
Press provides the highest levels of retirement living at our campuses in Kentwood, Jenison, Holland, and Spring Lake. Learn more at oakcrestcommunities.com or call 616-457-9500.
We're here with Bob Janetsky this morning, 395-1450. What were you going to talk about, Bob?
Well, Duke, I thought you were going to ask me about House Bill 5111, which has been very, I guess, controversial. It's a bill that says that would say statewide students who are in third grade and not reading at third grade level cannot advance to fourth
That's
grade.
That's Amanda's bill.
That is Amanda Price's bill. It's been editorialized in the paper. We're receiving a lot of emails and phone calls about it. I guess I'm a little surprised with the pushback and kickback of it. Now, granted, if that bill were to go into law as it was originally written, which was a very brief, I think, 13-line bill or something, if that were to go into law as originally written, 32 to 36% of students statewide would have been held back in the third grade. On the same token, I really am concerned that many kids aren't reading at grade level and we're still pushing them up. And the concern there, and the Holland Sentinel did a good job of this, they explained that third grade is really the last grade in which basics of reading instruction take place. So if you don't get it by then in third grade, you're moving on into fourth and fifth grade, and you're not getting a supplement of reading instruction that would be necessary. Nonetheless, there have been a lot of education communities that have been a lot very intensively and actively fighting this bill. They don't like the concept. They feel as if the state's micromanaging, which may be the case. But when you're taking $7,000 per student under the guise that you know we're going to be teaching them the basics, I think it's something we need to be very concerned about, that many kids are going to the next grade without being able to read.
And we have a call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob Janetsky.
Hello. I just want to comment on that third grade issue there. Just really getting them frustrated with school at that age.
Okay. And a lot of the people who came in and testified before the committee were concerned about that. You know, if a kid doesn't move up with his or her grade, they might feel hurt, or their social socialization skills might be harmed because they feel like a failure being held back. In the end, and I understand that you said that you'd like it done at 12th grade. The problem is by 12th grade, we really don't have any way to make that up, because there's no reading instruction that really typically takes place in a curriculum beyond third grade. So if we're going to...
You know, the way I look at it is you've had somewhat like 11, 12 years to figure it out, the instructors have. And if they haven't figured that out with a 12th grader, by the time they're in 12th grade, they're not doing their job. Then, and also, there may be a developmental issue with the child.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, because that in the very initial bill, there was not a provision to exempt anybody. And in situations where we've got a developmental disability or some special needs that can or should be addressed, there are now in the new version of the bill, in the second draft of the bill, there are some exemptions that can be made for students with extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I'm sure by 10th, 11th grade, they can figure out whether these guys are going to make it at 12th grade or not. But that's just a statement and concern that I'm having with this third grade issue.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're following it, and I hope you'll stay engaged and let us know where you're at on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Now, where is that bill right now?
That bill is still in committee. We've had about three different committee hearings on that. I believe we're going to have one more. Understand right now we're on a two-week in-district work break, which happens to coincide with the deer hunting season. I won't be going hunting myself. I will not be going hunting. Got a lot of coffee hours in and around the district. I'll be meeting with the teachers and education community for the most part.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes, I have a question. Why is there no reading instruction after third grade? And why couldn't, like, children that are identified as not being up to level in fourth grade with basic reading be pulled out with a reading recovery teacher or some kind of specialized teacher to address their reading abilities? And really, it seems like your early grades are for learning the mechanics of reading. The upper grades, like fourth, the upper elementaries from fourth to seventh, are for comprehension. So reading instruction should still be taking place. I am a former teacher. I taught in New Jersey for a number of years, and we were teaching reading up until 2001 in above third grade.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Good to know. There were a couple of different questions there. I want to try and make sure I get them all. I think the first question is, why does reading instruction stop at third grade? And that's basically the way that the state curriculum is written right now. Understand that the...
Maybe that needs to be changed. Maybe that's what needs to be changed, is that state curriculum. Maybe that's not accounting for children's developmental abilities and whatnot.
Okay.
That could be the challenge. Is they keep telling us that the curriculums nationwide, which is one of the reasons why we've got the Common Core standards coming in, the curriculums nationwide are too easy. And so they keep pushing these skills down more grade levels. And hence, what may have at one point been at fifth grade is now maybe moved down to third grade or even further. I had one teacher tell me she's very frustrated because the Michigan history curriculum, which used to be taught in fourth grade when students come and tour the Capitol, is now taught at third grade. And the kids at third grade probably don't have an appreciation or an understanding, really, of the three branches of government or how things work along those lines.
But if you don't have a command of reading, you can't learn science subjects.
Oh,
it limits you so completely.
I agree 100%. And if you're a former teacher, you know the adage that from kindergarten to third grade, you learn to read, and from fourth grade on, you read to learn. Well, that's why the line would be drawn in the sand at third grade. You also mentioned taking students out of a class at fourth grade for special reading instruction. That they don't need a law to do that. Districts right now have the ability to do that if they wish. They have the freedom.
Okay. So maybe it's more of a monetary thing that they don't have the money to hire like a reading specialist to actually be stationed in the school to pull the kids out with.
Depends on the individual districts and really what their priorities are. An awful lot of their priorities right now are driven by the state assessments and the national assessments.
Well, that's a sad thing.
I agree. Okay. I agree.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bob, I talked to Amanda about it, and I said, well, after third grade, they're going to have to go into a remedial reading.
Right.
And she indicated that would be the case.
The bill as written would basically hold the students back, and there would be remedial reading instruction, and the Department of Education will be working on what that looks like. But right now we're trying to figure out within the bill, and I asked Representative Price, I said, is it the intention that they might move on for other subjects if they're ready and prepared in math and things like that, or would they have to stay at third grade for everything? So I think there's a lot of different areas to work on things in this bill. I think even Representative Price admitted when she first had the first draft come out that a lot of people were nervous because there were a lot of holes in it.
Yeah.
And the testimony and what we're learning is going to make it a much better bill. Matter of fact, her second draft, if anybody out there looked at the first and panicked, I think they'll be very pleased with the second draft.
We're talking with our representative, Bob Janetsky, this morning. And if you have a question for Bob, you may call us 395-1450. I was just talking to Bob about I was a little more concerned about the Common Core than about the third grade reading.
I am still nervous about Common Core, the Common Core standards. Again, that's a vote that I lost. I voted no on the continuation of funding for that. And my concern here, Juke, is education is like business. It's like a lot of higher education. It's like different spans of government. There's a lot of trends that come through, and you know, the latest trend from California, people try it out, decide that maybe it's not the best thing, and then move on.
Right.
And talk to any teacher who's been around a while and who's taught under Chicago math and what a failure that was. That was terrible for the kids. It confused everybody, and then when the kids got home to do their homework, the parents couldn't help on it either. Talk to teachers who were around for the whole language reading method. That was a joke. I think it started off in California. Basically, it decided that everything was a sight word. Kids didn't need to sound out the words through phonics anymore. And then the theory was, well, if you didn't recognize the one word, maybe you'd recognize the next word in the sentence or the next word, and maybe you could piece enough together to understand. Now, these are all trends that went by the wayside. They were deemed to be poor education tools, poor education methods, and local districts were able to throw them out. Unfortunately, once we've taken the federal money and adopted the Common Core standards, we're stuck with it. And if it turns out to be failing us, we're still going to be stuck in a failing system, kind of like federal health care.
Yes. All right. Deer hunting is opening today, and deer hunt license cost me up more this year.
Yeah, yeah. They're up to $30 for residents.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's still a fine value for the time you get in the woods with family and friends and to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city.
Yeah. Well, I just would not be up there, but the lady said when she saw this deer crossing sign, she says, "Why did they put those signs where the traffic is the heaviest?"
Well, that brings up a bill that was came through the House just a day or two ago. Juke, apparently poaching up north is a pretty big problem
as well.
And apparently a lot of people, perhaps up north, but other places, I say up north because the sponsors of the bill were from up north. We had a bill go through the House yesterday that would increase the fines and penalties for people that poach on other people's land that go after the bucks with the big racks. And honest to goodness, Juke, this bill, the more points on a deer's antlers, the more your fines and fees go up.
Oh, really?
But if you think about it, that's what everybody wants
that's
to get
right.
for their for their to hang up on their wall and stuff.
Sure.
So that bill passed the House yesterday with a lot of support. Apparently, there's a lot of people angry about people poaching their deer with the antlers. You kind of feel bad for the does at that point, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
It's a sexist deer hunting culture, apparently, Jude.
I think so. 395-1450 is our number here if you'd like to talk to Bob this morning. And what else is on the agenda up there in Lansing?
Well, I'll tell you, we also just passed a bill relative to concealed carry, which brings up there was a letter to the editor in the Hound Sentinel a day or two ago.
Yes.
From a Mr. Payton, I forget his first name. He obviously is retired military or honorably discharged military. One of the bills would say that military who are discharged don't have to go through the basic education requirements for firearms training
right.
to receive a concealed carry license, and that's a good thing, and hopefully an effort that we're trying to make a lot easier for a lot of people and who already mm-hmm. have that training. We don't want to be redundant and double
right.
on it.
Right. Okay. And we got a call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob Janetsky. Okay, I guess they didn't want to be on the computer.
Maybe I answered it right as they were calling.
Well, this would enable a veteran, for instance, to go to the local police station, get the permit necessary, and without going through the...
Without having to go through all the firearms training. They would still have to take the written test,
yeah.
as most people would, but they wouldn't have to take the basic safety, firearm safety
class. Say, hey, I shot a bazooka.
Well, I think we'll limit it to pistols and rifles. I actually, nobody mentioned bazookas in the bill now that I think about it.
It's just as well they didn't.
I didn't see it anywhere written in the bill. And then within that same package of bills, if there's a caller, let's take
that call. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hi. I would like to make a comment about the hunting of the wolves.
Yes, yes.
I think it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people should have had a choice on this. Rather than just say it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see it come up for a vote. I was very disappointed that the governor allowed it, and I assume you voted for it.
Yeah, I voted for it. We got a lot of feedback out of Allegan County voters who were in favor of the wolf hunt.
Yeah, I know. You know, in this country, it's just wonderful to kill things. Wolves are beautiful animals, you know, and I can't see the point of killing them. You can't eat them. You can't do anything with them except kill them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You can't eat wolves, can't you?
I don't know. I've never
heard. I think
heard,
so.
Never, can you?
I think so.
They kind of look like dogs. I would have to be pretty desperate to eat one. I'd have to be really hungry.
Well, in Korea, I was up in Korea for a while. They eat dogs there.
I'm sure they eat a lot of things in Korea.
They eat squid, too. And
do they?
Yes, they
do. You know, we eat squid here, too, but it still doesn't look good.
It's
even when
different.
It comes, yeah, even when it comes on the with all the fried stuff on it.
All right. What else we got going up there?
Well, in that same package of bills regarding firearms.
Got another call
okay.
coming in. Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah. I am glad he voted for a wolf hunt. I'll tell you what. Really, why does there have to be wolves in the UP? Eventually somebody's child is going to get attacked by a wolf. And then sure, they're a beautiful animal. But I tell you what, if a child or a person gets attacked by a wolf, then things are going to change just a little bit. I'm glad you voted for it. My brother-in-law actually got a tag. He's hunting them.
Oh, good. And good.
I don't know why they only put a quota of 43 wolves. I thought they should do more, but at any rate, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, it brings up an important point, a really good call, by the way. It brings up an important point. When the DNR, and they do an awful lot of extensive study on the hunts and who should, you know, how many should be allowed to be hunted, and keep in mind they are off the endangered species now, the wolves are, so I think they want to do everything they can to make sure that Michiganders are allowed to hunt them and yet make sure they don't end up
yeah.
on the endangered species list again.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hi. I think the wolf hunting is a shame. I think a person should be able to protect their own property.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is law that farmers and so forth may shoot wolves who are going after their livestock. But just a wholesale killing, I believe, is really wrong. And yes, like he says, you know, there's going to be some people killed sometimes, maybe. But does that give us a right to destroy a whole species? You know, we have automobiles that kill people, thousands and thousands of people. Should we get rid of the automobile? Should we get rid of all dogs? Because not just pit bulls can be mean. Many, many dogs can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a silly, stupid argument. And, well, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning. This is Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Good to see you yesterday, Jude.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, one thing people don't are not told about a lot is that the wolf is part of the natural ecosystem, particularly up in the UP.
Mm-hmm.
The wolf helps control the population of the other animals that are up there.
Yeah.
And when they reintroduce the wolf to Yellowstone National Park, the caribou came under control instead of dying of starvation. The wolves ate them and killed them. When the caribou weren't overgrazing, then the grasses grew up and the prairie animals came back. And it's a whole long chain of ecosystem that the wolf is part of.
Right.
And somebody up above set up that ecosystem, not the DNR, not you and me, but somebody up above.
Yeah.
And the wolf is natural up there, but there's no more natural predators for the wolf. That's us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay. That's a great point.
Thank you, Terry.
That's a great point. They've been reintroduced. There are now enough wolves in the UP to sustain a population. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side you're on in the argument, man is the natural predator.
And we had another call here.
All right.
You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning, Juke. Good morning, Bob. I have a question, Bob.
Yes.
If deer are damaging a farmer's crops, may the farmer go out and shoot it? And then the other, and then the parallel question is, if the wolves are killing your farm animals, may you go out there and shoot it? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
The answer is yes. Farmers may defend their crops from predators, I think, and their animals. I think they can be a little more aggressive in defending their animals. With the crops, it's unfortunate. It seems as if, from my understanding of the law, they need to actually go out and get a crop damage tag.
Oh.
So I don't know if you buy those before you shoot the deer or after you shoot him while he's eating your corn, but you do have the right to defend your property and your animals in that sense. But it seems as if, from my experience in talking with farmers down in Fenville, it's a little more effort if they're going after your corn and such, mm-hmm. and you do need to get a crop damage tag and a special permit to hunt on your land in the off season. To defend your crops.
I'd put the meat in the freezer first.
Yeah, I would. I would too. Good thinking.
All right. Anything else we should cover this morning, Bob?
Well, that package of bills that I keep bringing up, the one that would allow former military to be exempted from the basic firearms training and get a CCW, also had a series of people who are allowed to carry a firearm. A concealed firearm in a no-carry area. And those are people like assistant prosecutors, former prosecutors, people who typically have firearms training, right. or parole officers, probation officers, former corrections officers, things like that. People who have been through firearms training in their profession and who, if a bad situation were ever to break out, you certainly wouldn't mind them with all their training to be there and have the appropriate firearm with them.
Okay. Where is that bill now?
That bill is moved through the House and will go to the Senate.
Okay.
It's actually a series of a pretty big package of bills.
Okay.
There's 5 to 7 bills in the package.
So we can look for it after the first of the year, possibly?
Maybe even sooner, maybe before Christmas.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, now I know what I want for Christmas.
Well, I hope it's a longer list than that. You've been awfully good.
Yeah, well, Bob, it's always good to talk to you, and glad you got here today. And we had a nice discussion here, and you can take everything we said back to Lansing.
I will take it all back to Lansing and take it into consideration, Juke. It's always great to be on Talk of the Town.
Okay, and I'll be back after news and weather with more Talk of the Town for you. Just want to mention that our guest from the AT&T will be here in the 10:30 segment of our program this morning. You'll want to be talking to her because maybe you'll have some questions about your telephone service, so be on hand for that. Meanwhile, it's news and weather coming your way here on Talk of the Town, so stay tuned. Time in the Tulip City is about to